Let's open up our Bibles. Matthew chapter 7 is where we are today. And here's what it says, verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. All right, if there was a list of my top five Bible verses that are abused, taken out of context, and meant to mean something totally that they do not mean, this right here is in the top three that we hear over and over again. In fact, what people have twisted this verse to mean is that we shouldn't say anything to anyone about anybody's sin because we all have sin in our own lives. And so we have come to an unspoken agreement that I will ignore your sin if you will ignore my sin, because we take this verse to mean that Jesus has told us not to ever mention the things that release death, dysfunction, and disorder into our lives, our churches, and our community, because that's what sin does. Sin is not just something that we do. Sin is something that releases death, dysfunction, and disorder into our families, our churches, and our community. And so what we've made this verse into is a divine mandate to ignore sin, to let it grow and thrive in our lives, in our churches, and to deny that we can be accountable to others in our walk with Jesus Christ. Now, if that's what Jesus means right here in Matthew 7, he has some serious memory problems, all right? Because in Matthew 18, listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 18. He says this, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church, and if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. All right, so I'm confused. I mean, if this verse means don't ever say anything to anybody about their sin, later on in Matthew 18, Jesus says we're called to do exactly that. What's going on right here? Well, let's look at the scripture from Matthew 7, chapter 1. And I think if we pay attention, it's not that difficult for us to hear what it is that Jesus is trying to say to us. Verse 1, do not judge or you too will be judged. All right, the word judge there can mean a variety of things. To judge can simply mean to evaluate something. I judge it's a bad idea to give all the kids in kids' church today knives and swords. All right, you can use it that way. That's a bad, Kevin knows. Yeah, that's a bad idea. All right, the same word can mean to condemn or to sentence someone or to pass judgment on their character or even their eternity. I judge that you spend life in prison. All right, that's another way that you can use that word right there. Now, which of those two ways do you think Jesus is using the word right here when he says, do not judge? I think it's obviously the second use of the word that Jesus is centering right here on, and he is encouraging us to be careful and suspicious of our ability to condemn others, to pass sentence on others, to judge them in a way that belongs only to God. He's saying be really careful about that. And why is that? Why should we be so careful about that? He tells us what the issue is as you keep reading. In verse 3, he says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? All right, what makes us at times really bad about judging others? All right, is we have a tendency to see sin in others' people's lives and to ignore it in our own. We have a tendency to be very generous with ourselves and understanding with ourselves and very harsh and condemning towards others. Think about the last time you messed up. the last time you sinned, maybe especially the last time you got caught messing up in something, what did you tell yourself when you messed up? You probably said something like this: "Man, you know what? I was having a bad day. I didn't sleep well the night before, and I did that, and that's not representative of my character. I was hangry. I missed breakfast. I had a fight with Susan the night before, and I was just missing." I mean, most of us don't go, "You know what? I'm just a jerk. I hate people, and I hate Jesus, and my whole life's a fake." Did any of you ever say that the last time you messed up? "I mean, the truth is, I'm a fake Christian. I only go to church to impress other people." You probably didn't say that to yourself, did you? But when you saw somebody else doing something wrong, you know what? We have a tendency to look at somebody else doing something and go, "Man, they are such a jerk. They're such a, I can't believe they come to church on Sundays. And this is right. They're just a bunch of fakers." We tend to very quickly pass judgment and to condemn others in a way that we do not do to our own selves in our own lives. And rarely do we make public pronouncements about people, and sentence them publicly. But what we do to people is we put them in the category in our brain that we put all the other jerks and morons and untrustworthy people who are fake Christians and going to hell. Because we all have a category in our brain where we put those people. And Jesus said, "Oh, slow down. Slow down. Be very suspicious of your ability to do that." And he says, "How do you want people to judge you? When they see you doing something that you weren't supposed to do, how do you want them judging you? Do you want them to be generous of thought? Do you want them to believe that, man, you may be having a really bad day? Do you want them to believe that you're seeing one moment right here and that one moment does not necessarily characterize their whole life? Any of y'all ever messed up before and that mess up didn't necessarily mean that you hate Jesus and you only care about yourself? Do you want somebody to look at you and say, hey, you know what? This moment I'm seeing right here may not characterize their whole lives. And maybe do you want them to believe that there's things going on that God sees and they don't? Do you want them to say, man, I wish I really understood their whole story? Do you want them to understand your story and where you've been and where you were compared to where you are right now before they judge you and pass sentence on you and condemn you? Would you like for them to understand your story? And regardless of what's going on, would you like for them to be merciful and kind and loving? You see, the issue that Jesus is pointing out right here is that too often we want mercy for ourselves and we want justice for other people. We want God to be kind and merciful, not give us what we deserve. We want everybody else to get what they deserve. And Jesus says, don't do that. Don't do that. So is Jesus saying here that we should never discern about the character or the trustworthiness of others? And the answer is no. He's not saying that either. Because right in a few verses later in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, listen to what Jesus says. Just later on in the same message, he says these words: "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." All right, Jesus is saying right here to the crowd, his followers, don't just accept everybody that comes and tells you they have a message from God. Everybody that comes and tells you that they have a message from God, that they're with Jesus, is not necessarily with Jesus and may actually be out to hurt or destroy you. Jesus says, look carefully at their fruit. Look carefully at the visible evidence of their character and nature and use wise judgment and discernment. And Jesus, in fact, says, that's important to do at times, that you use wise character and discernment when you evaluate those people around you, especially those people who say they are speaking from a message from God. That in fact, we're supposed to do the very thing right here, is look at their life and discern the character and nature from which they're coming. All right? So Matthew 18 that we read earlier makes it clear that Jesus can't mean when he says, do not judge, he can't mean that we never hold a brother or sister in Christ accountable for their sin, because he tells us to do exactly that. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 right here makes it clear when Jesus says, do not judge, that he can't mean that we're never to exercise good judgment in evaluating the character and the nature of other people. So what is it that Jesus is saying? What is it that he means when he says, do not judge? Jesus is saying, be aware and alert that we have the tendency to see other people's sins while ignoring our own. Hypocrisy is being outraged by the sins of other people while ignoring the sin in your own life. And this is the issue Jesus is dealing with in Matthew 7, 1 through 6. All right, hypocrisy is the issue. It's important to understand what's the issue Jesus is trying to deal with right here. And the answer is, it's hypocrisy is the issue that Jesus is identifying. He says it very clearly in verse 5 from Matthew chapter 7 that we read earlier. He says, you hypocrites. All right, here's the issue. You hypocrites, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus says, don't be hypocritical. Deal with your own sin. Deal with your own sin. Deal honestly and authentically with the sin in your life. Don't ignore it. Don't minimize it. Don't overlook it. Don't act like it's not a big deal. Jesus says, deal with whatever it is that's in you, deal with that in you. And why are you called to deal with your own stuff? All right, here's the key thing to recognize. Jesus says, deal with the plank in your eye, and he's not encouraging you to ignore it, to act like it's not there. You ignore your planks and I'll ignore my planks. He's saying, deal with the plank in your eye. Honestly and authentically recognize that you've got some brokenness, recognize that your weaknesses, recognize that you're not perfect and without sin. You deal with that honestly so that you can then help your brother or sister. This verse means just the opposite of what everybody takes it to mean, what you hear so often when people say, who am I to judge? Well, you know what? Deal with your stuff, because your brother and your sister in Christ need you. Your brother and sister in Christ need you. There are things in me that I can't see in myself, and I need my brothers and sisters in Christ to help me. And I don't see things in my own life. It's not because I'm weak. It's not because I don't love Jesus. It's because God created me for community. He created me so that I needed other people to help me see the things in my life that Jesus is addressing. And so we need each other. And so Jesus is saying, man, then deal with your stuff. Be honest about who you are. Recognize who you are. And then you can step in with a right heart. You can help your brother and sisters in Christ deal with the death, dysfunction, and disorder that we're releasing into our families and our churches and our communities. And then Jesus says this strange thing in verse 6, which sometimes your Bible separates this depending on the version of the Bible, but this is all part of one conversation Jesus is having right here. And he says, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. All right, you're like, okay, where did dogs and pigs come from? And it's important to recognize that in Jesus' day, dogs were not considered cute little pets. Some of you are dog people, God bless you. And so it's fun to kind of like go to, in Nicaragua, we go on some mission team trips. They've got these feral, vicious, filthy dogs that run around the kind of little villages. And we'll go on a mission trip and somebody like Robert, who's a dog person, you know, they're petting the little dogs. And some of the villagers go like, what are you doing? And they're kind of feral, you know? And in Jesus's day, dogs weren't cute little pets. They were kind of filthy little feral things that kept some of the other animals away, but they weren't considered, you know, nice, cute little pets. Dogs and pigs were filthy, vicious little things. And so Jesus says, hey, don't give pearls. And pearls was a way of talking about the wisdom of God. Don't give your pearls to dogs and pigs. Don't give the wisdom of God to those who care nothing about the wisdom of God. Don't try to help others live the way of Jesus who care nothing about Jesus. All right, discern, your job is not to go around, Jesus is saying, and to tell everybody every sin that they are doing. Now, none of y'all need to hear that, but some Christian somewhere needs to hear it, all right? Your job is not to go around and to police everybody who's doing anything wrong, because there are some people who care nothing about following the way of Jesus, and actually giving them the wisdom of God isn't gonna do any good. And so it says, don't do that. And so listen to what Jesus is saying. Don't be a hypocrite. Deal with your stuff so that you can help your brother or sister in Christ. But don't think that once you've dealt with your stuff, that you're supposed to go around dealing with everybody's sin all around you, everybody that you see, because some people have no interest in a word from God. And people have no interest from a word from God. It is not our job to convict or convince them. That's the Holy Spirit's job. It is the Holy Spirit who convicts people in regards to sin and righteousness and judgment. And so we want to let the Holy Spirit do his work to open people up so that maybe in that there's a moment that they're open to it. We want to pray for people who are not open to the wisdom of God or the way of Jesus. We want to pray for them, but it's not necessarily the best idea to talk to them about the way of Jesus if they don't love Jesus. All right? So let's get practical and see what this would mean for us to follow the way of Jesus right here. Here's the first thing it would mean. All right? Number one, my first response to the sins of others is to do an internal check on my own life with God. All right? I see sin in somebody else, and the first thing I'm gonna do is I'm gonna slow my roll. Before I get on Facebook or anything else, or I go say to them, I'm gonna stop and I'm gonna say, wow, is there something I need to deal with? Is there some reason I noticed this sin? Hey, don't go Google pastors who were viciously calling out sexual sin who are engaging in sexual sins themselves. It'll make us all look bad, all right? Don't do that. But listen, why oftentimes some of the sins that we get most excited and we notice the most clearly may have some connection with something we feel most deeply. Why am I so passionate about this? What's going on here? Lord, am I being generous of thought with this person? Am I open to somebody saying something to me about some of my sins? Am I acknowledging my own brokenness? Am I standing in a place of superiority above them? Or do I recognize, as somebody once said, I'm one beggar telling another beggar where to find food? Am I aware of my own weaknesses and my own challenges before I say anything to anybody? I'm doing an internal check on my own life. Can I speak to them in love? Can I speak to them in love? It starts with me. And something happens when I start with me rather than starting with them. You know what happens when I start with me? I get humbled. And I remember my own weaknesses. I remember my own sins. I remember the grace and the goodness of God in my own life. I remember that I need other people as well. It humbles me. And then it changes the tone and the tenor in which I'm gonna reach out. Man, it changes the tone and the tenor. Not as someone who is angry and screaming at people. Angry, screaming Christians don't change that many lives, I don't think. Rather, it allows me to approach this situation in a spirit of love because I'm beginning with me. Am I doing this out of a place of love? Here's the second question I'm gonna ask. Is God calling me to speak into this situation? Because he's not calling me to speak into every situation. Is he calling me to speak into this situation right here, and to point out sin right here? It says sometimes people will come to me and they'll talk about some situation with somebody and they'll say, they're doing this. And they say, I'm gonna go talk to them about this thing they're doing. And I'll say, hang on a second, do they love Jesus? And I say, no, they don't love Jesus. But I'm saying, wait, well, you know what? Hey, let's start with Jesus, people, all right? We don't start with people's sin. We start with Jesus, right? I mean, that's where you start. Tell them about Jesus first. Tell them that they are deeply loved. Tell them there is somebody, that there is the creator of the universe who desires for them to spend eternity with him, and he gave his life for them. We start with Jesus, and we don't expect people who don't know Jesus to act like those who do, but we should expect those who say they're followers of Jesus to actually follow him. Is God calling me to speak into this situation? And listen, the answer is more often than we like, yes. And we'd love for the answer to be every time, nope, nope. The truth is, God often calls us to speak into somebody's life. But when we do so, we're speaking out of a place of love because it starts with us. And what would happen if this was the way we lived? I mean, can you get a sense, a whole community of people living this way? When we notice sin in somebody else, we go to ourselves first. Man, we are humbled. We remember the grace of God. We deal with our own sin. We invite people to help us, to walk with us. And we're just dealing with our own stuff. And we're honest. We're not hiding. We're not acting like we've never messed up or we've never sinned or we don't have any brokenness in our life. We're just honest with other people. And then when God is calling us to, we are speaking lovingly and kindly and gracefully into other people's lives because we love them. And we don't want death, dysfunction, and disorder being released into their life, into the church, into the community, but we're also discerning at times that somebody is doing something and God is not calling us to say something, but God's calling us to pray for them, that the one who convicts and convinces would do the work that he alone can do. And we simply await an opportunity to speak life when they are ready and willing to hear the words of Jesus. Can you imagine a community like this? I can. This is the way of Jesus right here, and it would raise up a beautiful people whose life speaks the wonder and the grace of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. You are so good when we see it and when we don't. And I thank you that you are graceful and merciful. Lord, I thank you that though we have all sinned and fallen short of who you've called us to be, you have not turned your back on us, Lord. You have loved us and invited us to be restored and renewed and refreshed. At the same time, Lord, I thank you that you take sin seriously because sin destroys. Sin destroys families, it destroys churches, it destroys communities, it destroys lives. And I praise you and thank you that you do not take sin lightly. You don't diminish it, you don't dismiss it, you don't make light of it. Lord, you deal with it. And you deal with it because you love us. And so, Father, I pray that we would hear what you're inviting us to be and to do, and we would hear how you're calling us to live. We need each other. We need each other. We need each other to be honest. We need each other to admit our weakness and our brokenness. We need each other to get our stuff together and to bring it before you and to deal honestly with our lives. We each need to do that because we each need each other to become who it is that God is calling us to be so that you might knit us together as a family. Because only as a family and only as a community will we witness to a resurrected Christ who lives among us. And so, Lord, thank you. Teach us how to follow the Jesus way. You've given us your Spirit and grace sufficient. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.